NSC traveled away to Louisville City FC and suffered a 2-0 loss in their first ever USL League match. This week, the Boys in Gold are back home against Pittsburgh Riverhounds SC. What happened last week? What should you expect next week? It's all coming up next here on Speedway Soccer Pod. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us tonight with episode 7 of Speedway Soccer Pod. As always, we are here at Alley Taps on historic Printers Alley, broadcasting on the Beautiful Game Network. Check that out at bgn.fm for all your USL information, specific clubs, USL as a whole. That's your source to go through for information on the USL. I am here with
John Slope
and Jonathan Sleep.
And we're kind of back tonight with a little bit of a more normal episode. We hope you were able to check out our supporters group episode that we released just a few days ago. We thought that was a really good piece to kind of just key you in on what's going on with the RSGs here in Nashville.
So I'm going to kind of take over and ask some questions. So both Davey, you and Sloop, you guys traveled up to Louisville for the game. So tell us a little bit about the game, the atmosphere. What was it like at Slugger Field?
Yeah, you know, I kind of just tie into what I was just saying. I thought the Roadies did a great job. The Assembly did a great job. We know that those were the two groups that were represented there in Louisville. It was a good atmosphere. I think they said 8,000 tickets sold.
There's no way.
7,500, I think is what
there's
it was.
No way there are that many people in the seats.
I don't believe it. I was going to say 6,500 maybe.
Yeah, maybe,
like that.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but there were a lot of seats empty.
The atmosphere was good. Their supporter section was pretty packed. It was a little thin. They had the three sections behind home plate, three or four sections behind home plate.
But those must be normally closed off because they had covers that they looked like they were normally wearing.
And I know Brian specifically mentioned in our interview for the preview that like their biggest concern, he said, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day.
And NCAA tournament.
And NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
He was worried about what the turnout was going to be. So like there was no...
Listen, so this is no knock on them. It was a good turnout. I think one of the wonderful parts of the game was that they were very welcoming. I mean, people came over, some Louisville supporters came over and gave us pretzels with Louisville colors. I mean, there was all, I mean, seriously, it was a festive atmosphere.
Yeah, there was
a festive
like a
atmosphere.
Bourbon bar where, you know, people were hooking everybody up. And
so the groups were all getting along really well together. And on the one hand, that's great. On the other hand, I hope at some point we have a rivalry where there's not, I don't want fights, but I want a rivalry where you don't want to stand so close.
Well, I think
to
a lot of
this
it
is a great
like,
first game.
I think Louisville knows that, like, really, we've got this season and next season.
Yeah, right.
And we're out of USL. Mm-hmm. So, like, can you really develop that, like a bunch of a hate rivalry? I think Cincinnati is maybe a different...
Yes, I totally agree.
Not only because, like, there's some competition with the USL specific... I mean, with an MLS bid specifically. But there's also the added, they're going to go to MLS, and we're also going to play them continuously rather than just two seasons.
But to nail it down a little bit, I thought the atmosphere was good.
It was fun.
It was kind of going the whole game, singing back and forth, and
it sounded good on the broadcast.
Right,
it was great.
The result was.
Before we get to the result, because we can get to that in just a second, I want to point out that Davey and I went over to have lunch over in Butchertown, which looks like it's going to be a great place.
Great location.
For the stadium. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed completely. I would say, if you know, for anybody from Nashville, if you think of what Germantown was like five or 6 years ago,
exactly
here,
what I thought.
A lot like that, just a really cool area. I think it's going to be an awesome location for a stadium. And we ate at a place called, I think it was Butchertown Pizza Hole.
Yep.
And they had everybody there was rocking shirts that said "Build a Stadium" in purple and gold. So kind of cool to see that community support from local businesses there. And I think...
I just wanted to say something happy before we got to the result.
No, I think that's good. I think people from Nashville could take some P's and Q's there on building it in their area, because it was super supportive, and other than a what I would say a vocal minority that's here saying, don't build a stadium, I think there needs to be more people in that area saying, we think this stadium will be great for us.
Right, right.
Which their businesses were there doing very, very loudly. So totally I thought it was agree. Great. So the result, 2-0 defeat. I don't think any of us are shocked by that. It's a way to the defending champions.
The defending champions who scored the most goals second most goals last year.
Ever in USL.
Ever had the most clean sheets. So
and are returning 9 of 11 starters and their first three guys off the bench.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what Brian said in our preview, was that he said it was going to be he thought it was going to be 2-0. He thought it was going to be a competitive game, but he didn't think that it was going to be something like some kind of a blowout. So, like, 2-0, not really that much of a surprise. I thought there was a chance of a draw. I know, Davey, you talked about a chance of a draw. Mm-hmm. Sloop wasn't here for our last episode, but what did you think going into it?
I called 2-1 before the game. Davey, well,
you did. You said with that. A consolation goal.
I thought we were going to get a consolation goal. To be honest,
Hume should have scored.
We should have. I mean, and that's when it was going to take place. I mean, I won't go into this too much now. I thought the midfield looked good. It was just getting that final third in was hard.
So, I mean, looking at it just from my perspective, I thought it was a very frantic game. I know a lot of people are going to talk about the field and, like, the quality and how well the field. It was a bit of a shaky field. There was a lot of dead spots. But what I thought what made it so frantic was the size of the field. It's a short field. It's, like, I think around 100 yards, which made it, I mean, goal kicks, look at what Pickens and the Louisville City keeper, I mean, a goal kick was putting you, I mean, in the final third pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing. I absolutely am sure that's the case. I think those of you who have played a lot notice that far more than I do. I mean, I know the fields are all different. I didn't actually notice that so much, but I'm sure. I mean, talk about that a little bit.
I just noticed, like, a lot of times, like, you know, I wasn't there, but I watch on the stream, watch on the broadcast. I mean, there was a lot of times like you couldn't take your eye off the game because in a moment's notice, the ball could move from right at the goalkeeper, I mean, up into the final third in the midfield third really quickly. I mean, there was a lot of chances that we saw that, like, would normally be deep free kicks that ended up being chances into the box.
Yeah.
And I'll say, too, and this isn't an excuse in any fashion or anything like that, I thought there were some balls that I viewed as not even 50-50. That went Louisville's way that I thought should have gone Nashville's way, that the ref kind of just, whether it was an errant ball out of bounds. I know at least two Louisville got corners off of balls that, from our vantage point, did not even look to be close to getting nicked or anything like that. So it was kind of just one of those things. But Louisville deserved the win. Second half, first half I thought was even Steven. Second half, they just came out and played better.
You know, I'm pretty pessimistic most of the time. And so first half, I don't think it was even Steven, but I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was impressed. We were pushing back. We looked like we belonged in the game.
I mean, first half, Pickens looked great. There was that one save that he made that was ruled offside, but, I mean, it was a great like reaction save. And then he had the other point-blank save fairly on in the game. One of the things I did notice was that I felt that Louisville was kind of targeting us down the left-hand side. So our left, their right, so they were kind of coming at James fairly often.
You know, I was going to say conversely, I thought we kind of ran the opposite of that. I thought we were going through Kamara and not James.
No, I thought we ran.
I don't know if that was something to do with the field specifically, but I agree with that notion.
I think it was also kind of keeping away from where the midfield, like, grass was laid. Mm-hmm. I think there was something.
That's really interesting because I noticed that, but I didn't put it together. I think both of you are absolutely right. That's the way the ball was running.
And kind of a note on the field, I saw a statement earlier that they were the city had flooded about 3 weeks ago, and I don't know if the field was underwater.
Oh, I was, but someone, I don't know either, someone in the supporter section for Louisville said to me this was underwater a couple weeks ago.
So,
and so I don't think the field condition is anything you can play a part of it. I do think the size of the field had a lot to do with the game just because it was so quick and so back and forth.
But they are I mean, the size of the field is the same for both teams. What you're saying is they're used to that size.
They're used to it. Right. They know how to play it. They know the spots on the field. So we ended the half 0-0, and then really coming out of the second half, I was kind of disappointed.
Like, we were on the back foot really bad.
Really. There was probably about 2-3 minutes that we held possession the first 2 or 3 minutes. But then after that, it kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah, the first goal, and forgive me for not knowing the goal scorer's name.
It was Spencer, who was their top goal scorer.
Their top goal scorer from last year. Just a really nice finish. Glancing header that barely snuck inside the post. It was kind of in that perfect position in between Pickens and the post. It was a really, really good goal. And you can't knock it at all. Well-placed ball, well-placed finish.
Doyle was a little out of position for that game. He probably could have challenged it a little bit better. But it was a really great ball. I really don't think there's anything Pickens could have done there. He had a great game overall.
Yeah.
But
so the second goal, I kind of thought Pickens may have been able to get a hand to it. I know you watched. Is that a shared opinion?
I think Pickens could have got a hand on it. I think there was – it was kind of a catalog of mistakes.
Right.
Because I thought Justin Davis kind of lost Spencer for a little bit on that through ball. Or actually Jimenez, because Spencer played Jimenez in right there. And he kind of lost Jimenez there. And then Woodbury didn't do the best job of covering the back post. Where McCabe, it was a pretty easy finish back post for him.
So, we've kind of just covered it both there. So there was two goals in the second half after a pretty straightforward first half where there wasn't a huge back and forth and really huge chances for either side. Any standouts that you guys kind of had on your roster?
So player-wise, I mean, really, the two guys that played the most that I thought stand out were Kamara. I thought Kamara delivered a couple balls. There were some floated crosses in, but and then I thought Maloto. Maloto played well, was fairly disjointed.
I throughout the game, you weren't there, but I was talking to Davey, and I kept pointing out Maloto. I was very, very impressed throughout at his job in the middle. I mean, he was taking balls, he was protecting well. I was impressed with him.
And part of me wonders, the last professional game Maloto played was with Swope Park. At Slugger Field.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
So he played up front for Swope Park in the championship game. So, like, I mean, his last professional game was
right there.
Field. Right. And so I think he understood. He didn't completely understand.
The but
level
I think of play.
He had a familiarity with that field.
Not just the level, but the size, the quality of the pitch. He must, yeah.
Yeah, I think Maloto is probably the one. I thought Pickens had a really good game, even though I said I thought he maybe could have got a hand on that goal. But there was a few. Yeah, they got flagged off sides, but he still made really, really good saves that it's nice to not see the ball go in the back of the net. The Maloto thing kind of stood out. Sloop and I were saying.
Yeah.
We kept noticing him, and then at the end of the game, we kind of talked through it, and we hadn't noticed Reed or LaGrasse as much. And so it's kind of like when you see one guy who you keep seeing him over and over and over. And then others who you don't, and that's not a knock on those guys, but I think it is a testament to the influence
I don't think Reed or LaGrasse had a bad game, but I think part of it is, there's that small, like I keep touching on it, but the small field, the ability to quickly bypass the midfield through long balls,
it makes it
a little hard to maintain possession. I know we kind of split possession with them 50-50, but part of that, I think LaGrasse could have had a better ball in the final third, but I thought Reed distributed fairly well.
So I know we need to move on, but let me, Slape, since you're talking about the size of the pitch, what do you think the difference is going to be when they play here?
I think coming to Nashville, especially with us playing at Nissan, is going to be there. We're going to have a very wide and a very long pitch. So we're going to be able to, kind of spread the ball out. I think our struggle was with width the other day, so we weren't making use of James and Kimura and getting it out wide. I think, at Nissan, we're going to have the ability to really push our fullbacks out wide and kind of be able to move the ball and spread the field that way.
Well, and I think the difference is just going to be a team that's not playing their first ever game and has matured a little bit and kind of fought in the trenches together and became who they're actually going to be. So that'll play into that as well. Just a few quick more notes. I think off the bench, Human Washington made a huge difference, in my opinion. They came on and I think really had a lot of influence in the game. Washington up the left. And then Hume, in my opinion, should have scored. He had a ball really, really placed well.
Yeah, in the 90th minute right there.
And kind of push it right over the top. So it was very, very late and wouldn't have been anything more than
a
consolation.
It would have been a consolation goal, which would have made me right. Yeah. So
it was, I think he should have scored. But I think those guys off the bench did a good job. And we'll talk more about what you think, what we think we're going to see against Pittsburgh. And that'll include maybe will some of those guys start. But we'll be back with that after the break, as well as an interview with the Mongols, the podcast for Pittsburgh Riverhounds SC, and Ben Wright.
This episode is brought to you by Nationwide Business Brokerage, where success is a shared experience.
And also by Design Muse Styling, your source for home, event, and wardrobe styling.
Well, hey guys, this is Ben Wright here from the Speedway Soccer Pod. I am joined today by Justin Ashcraft and Mike Sparks from the Mongols podcast. They deal with all things Pittsburgh Riverhounds, and they are here to help us preview Nashville SC's home opener this weekend against Pittsburgh Riverhounds. So, Justin, I guess if you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Mongols.
Yeah, I'm Justin Ashcraft from the Mongols podcast. It's one of team of six for those of you who listen to Speedway Soccer who cover the Riverhounds for Mongols. We're looking forward to our first game of the season and talking to you guys as well. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for jumping on today. We're super excited to talk to both of you. My first question is a little out of the blue, but as Pittsburgh guys, how do you bring yourselves to root for a guy like Sidney Crosby?
Justin, you're...
Listen, I'm a Philly guy. I don't know either.
So, I guess as being sort of the only Penguins fan here, really my only argument, you know, for this is if he was on your team, you would cheer for him as well. I think a lot of this is sort of jealousy. I totally get it. Like, if I was not a Penguins fan, I would probably hate him too. My really only argument is if you guys had him, you know, you wouldn't hate him so much. And if I didn't have him, I would hate him just as much as everybody else. So if that makes you feel any better, it may not. But
no, that's actually a very fair answer. So I guess my first actual question is, this is obviously our first year in USL, and if I'm not mistaken, this is your first USL match, correct?
Yeah, this is our first one of the season.
Okay, awesome. So I guess just give us a little bit of background on your team, how you expect you guys are going to come out and play on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, so I think there's just there's a lot of energy around this team right now, and I'm thoroughly enjoying that. I think we had what we would call a down 2 years. And so they have not been good for the past 2 years. But with the Rochester fold, we were able to grab Bob Lilley, which is a well-known name in the USL community. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around that and a lot of excitement around him coaching this team and what he did in Rochester. With this season, I mean, I'm excited about it. I think there's players that have quality. I mean, we were able to snag Dennis Chin late in the preseason. We were able to get Ben Zemanski from Portland Timbers. And so that's been good. Joe Greenspan came back to us this year after spending some time with Minnesota United last year. And so there's been some excitement there. And then we have Kevin Kerr returning, which has been he's been here a long time and has been one of our regulars. So I think there's just a just a really good energy about this team. So I'm expecting good things on Saturday. I don't necessarily know how good, because I think there's still some gelling that this team needs to do after losing to Villanova this past weekend. So I think there's still some gelling this team needs to do. But if they do, I'll feel really good about this season and kind of what I expect to see on Saturday.
Awesome. That's super helpful, especially for those of us who probably don't know a ton about your team. I guess just give us a little picture of what your expectations for the season are, what the fan base is expecting for the season. What's the cutoff for you between a successful season and a failure?
I think the cutoff is definitely the playoffs. I think we really want that. And I think we kind of expect that with Bob Lilly and what he did in Rochester in 2015 with a small market, small budget team and taking them to where he did. So I think we just expect him to be able to take our team and kind of do the same thing, get a lot out of players and get the best out of them. And so we finished 13th in the East last season. And so top six is what I would really like to see. Top four would be great. So I think, and I think we can push for that. I think we have the talent. We have the ability on the field. It's just whether the team gels, whether Bob Lilly's kind of mantra, his style of coaching, gets into the players that we have. But if that happens, I do think we can push for top four.
Awesome. No, I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable. So going in a bit of a different direction, you guys have had your own soccer-specific stadium here for a few years. You just recently had a pretty cool rebrand. I guess just talk a little bit about how those have combined to create buzz and what the fan support is like in the community up there.
Yeah, I think that's been really cool. Just because we've been down for a couple seasons, I think the fan support here has sort of waned. And so we had seen the lower attendance numbers and so stuff. It's been some down years. So I think that this year with the rebrand, I think that if nothing else, it got the Steel Army and some of the supporters groups back on board in a big way, to be, not that they hadn't supported the team in the last couple of years, but I think some people even on the fringes of those groups got back in the mix with just, I think the designer did a great job with the new crest. I feel like we went from having a old style MLS logo to a actual soccer crest. Kevin Kerr said that as much in his interview around that we went from having a non-soccer logo to a soccer logo. So I think that just makes us feel like, as supporters, like, man, we actually follow a real soccer team. And so that's been really cool. And then I think just Adidas did a great job with our kits this year. And that fired everybody up. Not that our kits were terrible in the past, but they just haven't been the best. And so I think Adidas did a great job with our kits this year. I think that just generated a lot of hype and a lot of just excitement going from Nike to Adidas, going to actually having a local TV deal this year, expanding our stadium to meet the USL stadium requirements, and the rebrand, I think, is all just pushing the Pittsburgh soccer community back to the Riverhounds as well.
Yeah, I'd second that. I think that, the stadium has been a boon for the people who go down to see the games. But as you mentioned, the lean years of the past few years, there haven't been a ton of people going. So there's a lot of hope that if the team can make a push and, make a playoff run, maybe get a home playoff game, that's definitely going to generate more interest. And the team is growing and really, for the past few years, trying to shake off the shackles of coming out of bankruptcy just a few years ago. And I think they're starting to do that. And there's going to be a lot of buzz around this team this season. So we're excited. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. So last question here before we get into some predictions. Taylor Washington for Nashville SC this year. He played for Pittsburgh last year. And he actually came on for the last 5 minutes, I believe, against Louisville City and looked really good. He changed the game and brought a lot of energy that we hadn't seen before. I think a lot of us were actually a bit upset that he didn't come on earlier. So, you guys got to watch him all last season. What are your impressions of him and what should we expect from him going into this 2018 USL season?
Yeah, we were, I was very disappointed that Pittsburgh didn't bring Taylor back. I have been able to meet Taylor and get to know him a little bit, and I just have thoroughly enjoyed what he brings to the community. Maybe not even on the field, but off the field, he's just a fantastic representative of the club, and what he brings to the table off the field is just awesome. But what he brings on the field is just incredible. I mean, the guy never stops working. And I just, like, there were times last year where he would get yellow cards, and it was really just because he just didn't stop working. And, you know, he can run for 90 minutes, and it's ridiculous, some of the end of game sprints that he was able to do at the end of games. I think the way I saw you guys play the other day, in the amount of the game that I watched, you really rely on those outside backs to run the lines and to be able to, you know, attack and defend, and Taylor can do both. And so, yeah, we were pretty disappointed that he's not here this season.
Yeah, for sure. Just from what we've seen of him so far in preseason, and from like the brief interactions we've had with him on social media and stuff like that, he just seems like a great guy. And we were all really impressed with him on Saturday against Louisville. And I think he'll be a guy who will contribute in a position that will see a lot of rotation this year.
Yeah, we were bummed to hear not only that he was going to Nashville, but that we'd be seeing him in the first week of the season, because I think he was a fan favorite for a lot of people here. So you guys are definitely getting a good one there.
Yeah, we're really excited to have him. Okay, so Justin, if Pittsburgh wins, it'll be because...
Yeah, I think it'll really just be because the team gels together. I mean, I think there's good players all over the field between Francois and Kerr and Parks and Chin. I mean, I think there's good players all over the field, but I think we need to put it together as a team. Luckily, I do think there are some players who can. I think Joe Greenspan is one who can kind of set the line from the back and kind of get everybody into position. I think we've also seen Canardo Forbes do that in Rochester, and his indoor experience kind of control the field and be able to get guys where they need to be. And so I think if we can do that, I think we have enough talent on the field to score goals. It'll just be, can we gel together, and can the partnerships that need to work and all of that kind of stuff.
So then on the flip side, if the Riverhounds lose, it'll be because?
I think it'll come down to defense. And I think that's where I'm like, a lot of these defenders who I've seen have not played together a whole lot. And so it's been interesting to watch them kind of gel on the field. And so can the wingbacks, can Joe Greenspan and whoever partners with him at center back, can they do? And then I think the also big question mark we have is our keepers. So we just have a lack of experience there. Good experience, but a lack of experience. So just hoping that they are able to keep balls out of the net. And then I think the other thing that watching the game on Saturday that made me a little worried is Pickens is a really good goalkeeper. Made some good saves against Louisville. So if he's able to stand on his head quite a bit and keep balls out of the net, then we may have trouble.
Yeah, we got some forwards who, I should say some forwards. I know we have a forward who, if you get in his head, it could be problems. So yeah, for sure. If Pickens is able to get in his head, it could be really beneficial for you guys. Let's talk some predictions. Ben, we'll sort of put you in the middle here of this sandwich. Justin, why don't you go first and let us know what you're thinking for this game? Give us a score prediction.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this all day. I think I'm gonna go 2-1 to the Hounds. I think we do give up a goal because I did not see that attacking presence from Nashville, but I think we do give up a goal, but I think 2-1 Hounds.
Ben, how about you?
I'm gonna flip it and say 2-1 Nashville. We do have issues with our forwards, but I still think we have the quality to score two goals. And I expect that we'll see at least a goal from a midfielder. Yeah, I think Gary's going to drill into them some stuff to work on in practice this week, and I think that as this team gels more, we'll see more results like that. So I'm going to say 2-1 Nashville.
Yeah, we like Liba Maloto too, and yeah. I didn't feel like he gave you a great game the other day, but I know his quality from 2 years ago in Pittsburgh, so yeah, we like him and too.
It's tough for guys like him to play on pitches like that. Right. So, yeah.
I'm not going to break this tie at all, because I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw. I think that the environment that you guys are going to have in Nashville is probably going to be pretty nuts for your first home opener. And so I think that, you know, where there may have been some jitters at Louisville, that's going to give you guys a boost. And I think that the fact that you guys already have a game under your belt and the Hounds, you know, just came off playing Villanova, is going to be a bit to their detriment. So the Hounds are going to have to shake both the crowd and the fact that, you know, they haven't had a full game out yet. I don't know many guys that have gone a full 90 yet. I mean, we have few, but have played together as a unit for a full 90. And so they're still going to be trying to figure some things out. So I think that both teams will get one, but I think I'm happy with a draw out of this game. So I'll say 1-1.
All right. Well, we'll just have to see how it plays out on Saturday, I guess. Really quick, if you want to plug your socials, tell people where they can follow you and where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, at just Ashcraft, A-S-H-C-R-A-F-T on Twitter.
Yep. So Justin's bringing you all the new latest stuff from everything, I guess we'll say. You're still tweeting about everything. And you could follow the main Mongols feed for any of you Nashville fans. It's at Mongols, M-O-N-G-O-A-L-S. We have all of our shows and stuff there. So guys, thanks again. This was good. I think I'm walking away from this feeling like I know more about what to expect from this upcoming game.
Awesome. Yeah. We're really excited too. It's going to be a fun time. Well guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Well, thanks so much to Mike and Justin for coming on to the Speedway Soccer Pod. What you just heard there was actually portions of a larger episode I did with the two of them, where we talk a little bit more about Nashville SC, and they get some more info on us before the game this Saturday. So if you're interested in hearing that, head over to their Twitter page, at Mongols, M-O-N-G-O-A-L-S, and look for that coming out around the same time you hear this. On the other side of the break, it's back to the guys at Alley Taps.
Hey everyone, back with Speedway Soccer Pod. Thanks to Ben Wright for taking care of that interview with the guys from Mongols. I think it's just awesome, again, for BGN to host that and facilitate that ability for us to bring fans in Nashville, opinions, thoughts, info on teams in Pittsburgh, and for guys like Ben to be able to kind of transfer that there as well. It's just a really good thing that BGN does, so we're thankful for them. Check it out at bgn.fm. So guys, week one out of the books, week two, we're here now, we're officially in it, and we're playing home. So kind of thoughts going into this weekend?
I'm going to be brief here because I know Slape studied up on this a lot, and he's got, you know, he knows a lot of this, but I'm just very, very excited about seeing what it's like to play at home for the first time. I'm going to be honest with you. While I think this experiment of playing at Nissan's an important one in order to get the crowd large, it's odd moving back and forth between pitches. So I hope Slape could talk a little bit about that. Is the size going to be the same between that and the baseball stadium and so on? So,
I mean, the size is going to be different, but I think the field at Nissan is going to be a whole lot bigger. But I think one of the things that, I mean, it was only one game against Atlanta, but one of the things I liked about First Tennessee was kind of the intimate setting of the whole game.
I agree.
Everything was close together. Germantown is a great neighborhood where you have a lot of close bars and restaurants where you can, you know, meet up and then, you know, make that short walk to the game.
And it's going to be very much like Wedgewood, Houston. And
it's going to be very much like what we're going to experience when we do move over to the fairgrounds.
Yep.
But going to Nissan, it's just acres and acres of parking.
Right.
If you ever want a advertisement of why there should be development around a stadium and the importance of the 10 acres, look at Nissan and then look at First Tennessee. Right. You're going to see everything. It's us coming home, but also it's Pittsburgh's first game. Pittsburgh had an off week, so, you know, we move in, you know, having one game up on them and having a bit more experience, I think it's going to be helpful.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always good, you know, when a team's coming out and playing their first game, they're going to have some nerves, and you're going to have worked through a few of your issues and sets of nerves the week before. I think for us, the big thing is just going to be how do we react playing at home versus going and losing your first game. Losing sucks. People don't like to do it, and especially when you go away and you're a pretty hyped team that's got some really good players on it to go up and kind of lose pretty soundly 2-0 is not a fun thing to do. So I'm really interested to see what that response is like with them coming home.
So Wes and the Golden Gold guys and Wes and Glenn gave us some stats that they pulled up about Pittsburgh. And I think a lot of things are going to play into our strength. So Nashville is very much a defensive team. We give up a few shots. Last year in the USL, only three teams converted fewer shots on goal than Pittsburgh did, which I think, you know, as long as we allow fewer shots, we're going to give up fewer goals. And they're also the least physical team. I think one of the things that Nashville does have is we're a very physical team, but not like just like overtly huge and just knocking people over. Mm-hmm. I think even if you look at guys like Washington and LaGrassa aren't the biggest guys out on the field, but they provide a physical presence. They're very strong on the ball, and provide something that, you know, when you think physical, you think just big, you think Hume, but it's a lot of our other guys that provide that physical presence.
Yeah, and so what I'm just interested to see when Pittsburgh comes is I think they're kind of in the similar boat as us, is where the goal's going to come from, right? Because I think Glenn kind of pointed out to us, their leading goal scorer left, correct? And I think he scored more than half of their goals last year.
Yeah, Herzog played, he scored 14 of their 33 goals last year.
Yeah, and so pretty close.
Now he plays for St. Louis.
Right. So that's going to be, it's just going to be interesting. I think it's going to be one of those, not zero zeros, but it's going to be leaning more towards 0-0 with a spot or two of brilliance, I think. So, and the truth is, and you know, thanks for the guys for the Mongols from coming on. They just weren't a very good team last year. There's no way to cut it, and that's not a knock on them. And who knows, they could be the class of the East this year. We don't know the answer to that yet. Everything's a new season, but
especially in the USL.
Especially in the USL, right? Well, last week we were all saying, you know what? The probable result is a loss, but I think we're going to go up there and impress. In my opinion, we should be saying right now, the probable result is a win, and I will be disappointed if we do not win.
Yeah, no, I agree. So after seeing what we saw with the team in Louisville, looking forward to Pittsburgh, what would you do with the team? Would you make any changes?
Look, I get there's some things that they're – people could say I'd like to see X, Y, or Z happen. And I was saying, we were talking earlier in the day, and my thought is this, is that if Gary really thinks that the team he started in Louisville is the best 11, if that's who he really thinks is his guys and those are the dudes he wants to start, then I don't think he should change anything going into this week. Because I think it's, you know, you went away and you lost to the defending champions who were returning 9 of 11 starters and their guys off the bench. So I don't really see a need to change.
I totally agree with you. And if there's anything about fan culture that I don't like, it's when one guy has either a bad game, which we really didn't see this time, and everybody says take him out, or when one player comes in as a sub and plays a little bit better and you say automatically go there. Can you go with Hume? I mean, there are things that we could do, obviously, right? I like the idea of, especially this early in the season, if you put in 11 guys you're confident with, keep playing those guys until there's a reason to change.
And I think we saw Golden Goal put out a great analysis piece out today that had some quotes from Gary, and he specifically mentioned consistency. Whereas I think there's about one change. I think Hume really impressed me the past couple of games.
Yep.
I think I would bring him on for either Cox or Schrute. I thought both of them, you know, Schrute dropped deep a lot in the game to try to get on the ball and kind of left Cox on an island because they were just trying to get involved with the game against Louisville. This is Jonathan Slape saying that I would sub one of those guys out. I don't think Gary's going to make any changes.
But you can see the logic of keeping the starting 11.
Right. No, and I completely weeks, right? I think consistency, especially with a new team, I think consistency is key.
Yeah, and just with that train of thought, I thought Hume should have started last week. So I would be totally fine with Hume starting this week because I think he is the true target man, and I think some guys play off of him better. That being said, I think he's kind of the definition of a super sub and is really a huge change of pace to the other guys. So I get bringing him off the bench as well.
I would say, like, I have been the slowest on the Hume convert train, as a lot of people. but there was
I'm the conductor. I'm leading the
human. You're leading the hype train.
Yeah.
There was one instance. I mean, aside from where he should have scored against Louisville, there was one instance in particular, coming on the left hand on the sideline. That's on the end line. Where I mean, he just bowled the guy over. Like
yeah,
just. Like,
down, yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, there was. I mean, yep, it was yep. pure strength. Yep. It was great footwork. He wasn't able to convert anything, but I was just like. I was like, damn, I'm impressed.
That was everybody was impressed.
That was one of those moments though where the ref is like, that either has to be a dive or it has to be a foul. What that defender did, like it, because he went down so easy, it either had to be a dive, but it was because it was in the box. He wasn't going to call a penalty there on a dive. You know what I mean? So yeah. I get that he didn't, but that was one of those things that frustrates me. But
our part of the crowd had ideas about what it was.
Yeah. It did, yeah. That was a nice play. I really, yeah, really liked
it
that.
Really was.
So it's good to see that physicality coming off the bench. Yeah. I agree completely.
So results going into Saturday, what do you think is going to happen? What scoreline are you looking at?
I think anything less than 2-0 is a disappointment. Maybe that's wrong. I think we have to win, but I think we should expect a shutout. They're a team I think that struggled for goals last year. Their leading goal scorer is gone. And I think a 2-0 victory is what we should be expecting.
3-0? I'm right there with a 2-0. I think
yeah.
I think 3 is a little ambitious with, you know, we've kind of struggled to score goals throughout the preseason.
We're going to see.
But this could dispel that. I mean, this could be, hey, we're going to score goals against middle to bad teams. Yeah. And, we might struggle against really good teams.
We say middle to bad, but we really don't know what
don't
they
know.
Are yet
right.
either.
I know, right?
It's really hard to tell for a team that's their first goal game
right.
ever.
They were a middle bad team last year. Like I said, they could be the class of the East this year. We'll see. So, but, no, I think 2-0, 3-0 is what we should be aiming for. Would I take 1-0? In a heartbeat.
I can't wait. I got to tell you, that's the thing. I'm really excited.
Just
about
win,
this.
Baby.
Yeah, just win. Yeah. I agree completely. Again, we're here kind of just to put out our thoughts, but it's great to have the guys from Pittsburgh, or if you listen to the last episode, the guys from some of those supporters groups come in and share their thoughts as well. We're just super thankful for the Mongols for wanting to be a part of this, for BGN to facilitate it. As always, we are sponsored tonight by Roughneck Scarves. We're super thankful for their input into our show and allowing us to make that happen. If you're interested in having scarves made for your supporters group, for your local team, for your pub team, for whatever, check them out at roughneckscarves.com. Let's enunciate. But no, they do a really good job. They make high quality stuff, and we're super glad that they want to be involved with the show. Guys, any parting thoughts before we head into the weekend? Tailgate information, parties, stuff like
so,
that?
So I will say, make sure to check out Golden Goal. Has a great piece out there breaking down the Louisville City loss. And a lot of great information, a lot of great graphs that they pulled from the USL page. They also will have a piece coming up later this week that's going to specifically break down and preview the game against the Pittsburgh. And then I know, make sure to reference our supporters group episode. They all get all those guys break down where they're going to be.
It sounds like Lot R is the main area. There's some grass in that general area where I think Kenny and the guys from Music City supporters groups are going to be. We plan on being at Acme Feed and Seed, located on Broadway. That's right at the corner of First and Broadway.
Up till about an hour beforehand.
Yeah, maybe an hour.
So before. Probably starting around like we'll probably get there around 2. Kickoff is at 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I also want to encourage, if you have thoughts, to make sure and write us. Let us know.
We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook.
So Instagram and Twitter, we're at Soccer Speedway. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Facebook at Speedway Soccer. And then our email address is speedwaysoccerpod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys, love to hear what you want to see from us.
If you have ideas for episodes.
Agreed completely. Right. Yeah, questions, ideas for episodes, or, you know, kind of just like Sloop was saying in our last episode, if you're what we think is an underrepresented group in Nashville soccer viewership and fandom, we want to hear you and have your thoughts and maybe even have you on the show. So we at least want to entertain those ideas. So as always, thanks so much for listening. Check us out, rate us, review us on iTunes or wherever you get our podcasts. And please subscribe and download. That really, really helps in driving why people want to buy into us and help support us. And so we're just glad to be here. Thanks so much for listening. This is Speedway Soccer Pod.